Thank you, Adam. Are we on? Okay, very good. Good evening to each one of you. What's that? Oh, that's good. It's pretty, isn't it? You like that much? All right, very good. I always have to watch it because I always have something. I always see something funny. And so I was just thinking, I was watching today the service as Brother Ken was making the comments, and I happened to notice that we were able to view Brother Mark's face. So I don't know if any of you, the rest of you, noticed that. And so, we might consider passing out rearview mirrors or something. Why to everyone that comes in? Because it was kind of fun looking at his face. I could see him, you know. I don't know, he had no idea, but we could see him through the camera. But I just thought that was kind of funny. And of course, I thought of all kinds of things that I probably shouldn't say, but I just thought it was kind of an amusing thing. It is good to be here, and I do want to come with a great deal of respect because I know we're privileged to be here. And I hope that the events of the past few months and weeks have made us aware of how privileged we are, and that things can happen, and all that could change. But my prayer is that we will grow in our appreciation and thanksgiving to the Lord and our humbleness before Him, realizing that, you know, something can change just in a moment. Because of whatever, politics, because of some catastrophe in the world, because of something. Whether it's manufactured, whether it's added to because of the politics, it doesn't matter. It just is. That's always been true. Those kind of things can always happen. So I have little program I'd like to present to you. And the title of it is Diligent. And then the subtitle, Do It Again. And I hope to be able to explain that as we go along here. First, does anyone remember or hear in the news here recently what took place on June 6, 1945? D-Day. That was an important day. That may have been a turning point in my life. I hope I can explain. What took place on that day, the 87th Bomber Squadron of the 8th Air Force led the bombing attack on Germany from England. They were the first ones to fly out, and they led other groups as they went, and my father was in that squadron. What's interesting, of course, is on the way, It was the first mission of D-Day, and of course I could think, really, that's, wow, I can really brag about that. But there was a navigation error, and they missed their target. They were completely off, and of course that was back in the days when, you know, they were still working on radar and navigation. It's nothing like it is today. It was really just at the moment in history when it was really beginning to get some understanding of how those kind of things worked and how we could use technology to do that. But they didn't get to the right target. And I'm sure they dumped the bombs, but I don't know where it was. It was on some insignificant place. But I thought about that, you know, and today I thought about that. What does that actually mean? What could it have meant? What could it mean to some of us? Number one is we have no idea. I have no idea. No one has any idea except God alone. If that was the day that he would have been shot out of the air, and that little foible, human error, saved my father's life. You know, a lot of people didn't come back that day. There's no way of knowing. There really isn't any way of knowing. And how would that have changed the rest of what's going on? Well, Marlene would not have been born because she was not born yet. And of course, very importantly, I was not born. And of course, that's a very personal to me. And so everything would have been different in some way or in some form. And so I was just thumbing through our new directory here. And I just put a check mark by people that I thought definitely, if my father had not come back from D-Day, it would have affected directly about 20 people directly, and maybe another five at least indirectly immediately because of other things, because of marriages and things like that. And so we just don't really know what's going on sometimes. We don't know how God is moving, what he's doing, how he's taking care. We don't know that it may have been some other reason. Maybe there was someone there in that place that he was preserving. I have no idea. God can do anything in any way he chooses to, but little things like this are things that change history. They change the history, and something that's going on today can change the history of each one of us. And, you know, of course, as I said, maybe that's why I'm here, because he didn't make that. Another question that I had is, you know, when we're thinking about this D-Day, if you don't know much about it, or if you, even if you do, would you be willing to do what those people did? You know, and I see somebody shaking their head, yes, and I hope that we would have enough people who would be willing. But it would mean, you know, putting your life on the line. You may not return. You may not return. But I think that's always been the case, that God has commanded. He commanded Israel. He commanded them when they went in and took the promised land. He told them, you know, you're going to do this. You're going to go to battle today. You're going. And men from 20 to 60 went. This is what you're going to do. You're going to be there to assist in one way or another, and you're going to go. And God knew that many of those men that went and left on that day were not coming back. But he commanded them anyway. It's something to consider. And it's always in my mind that some things are worth everything. Some things are worth everything. Freedom may be one of those things. The freedom to worship God. Maybe one, and definitely that was at stake when God commanded Israel to go, freedom for them to worship, to no longer live in slavery, and begin to build a nation that was going to be typical of eternal life. And really, it is. You know, Israel is typical. It's the example of eternal life from both sides. You know, from both sides, God was building something. And what God does and what he wants is worth everything. We've been commanded to follow him with all our mind, might, and strength. And that's what's required of us at all times. So, in 1 Nephi, I want to read this one little verse. It's real short. And I can hardly see it on my piece of paper. But it says, "For he that diligently seeketh shall find." So I have a story to tell you. I think I've told this story before, but I'd like to try and tell it. Now this is about my mother and the grandmother of some and the great-grandmother of others and friends that were a cousin of a lot of people and acquaintances to a lot of your parents or your grandparents. And when I was little and growing up in Sedona, running around behind the hotel with my toys, you know, I didn't have that many toys. I had a few toys. I had a box full, maybe, of toys. But if I lost a toy, the chance is really good I'm never going to get it back for a long time. You know, I'm going to have to wait till Christmas or birthday or something or I can earn enough trash money, you know, how you carry out the trash and do little odds and ends for your parents, and they give you a dime here and a quarter there, that sort of thing. That's what my mother did. Well, I was out, and I don't really remember exactly what I'd lost. I'm just going to say that it was a ball. And so I ran inside, and I'm playing there. And when I lived there in Sedona, from where our dining room, I could look out and I could see the mountains back on Schnibbly Hill. I don't know if you know where that is, back on Schnibbly Hill. There was nothing in the way. There were just apple orchards and peach orchards in the bottom, and the creek, and rocks, and a few dirt roads you could see. There was nothing there. And then the hill was right there, and there was all these rocks that were built up on the side of the hill, and they bulldozed over so that, put the rocks there because as a retainer wall, and bulldozed over and made that flat top area larger. Well, I was always losing something in those boulders or around there, and I lost something. And it's probably a ball, and I came inside, Mom, I lost my ball. And so Mom told me, I told her I can't find it. So she said, go back outside and retrace your steps and go over the whole area again. Oh, Mom. So I did. I walked out there. I probably was about maybe Gracie's age, maybe her older brother. I don't know. I was pretty young. I was pretty young. I was less than 10 for certain. And so I went out. I looked around. And you know how kids look around. They don't look around. Went out, came back, Mom, you know, I still can't find him. And then she came outside with me. Of course, she was managing the motel at that time. She was the one there that had to manage the office. She's behind the motel with her son, trying to take care of her mischievous little boy. And she told me, no, you got to retrace your steps again. And we went out and she retraced the steps. And lo and behold, we found the ball. So I told her, this is where I was when I threw it or whatever I did. And it went that way and then it disappeared in the grass. And of course, she found it. Of course, moms do that, don't they? They find it. Well, and then not too long after that and many times after that, you know, this is a reoccurring theme. Is it a reoccurring theme in your house? I mean, I still go through this with my wife. And she helps me find them, the stuff. But it's things that happen. I lose things. But anyway, so I lost, you know, I lose my ball again. And I go in and I tell my mom, I lost my ball. And she says, go back outside. Go through the motions where you were. Do everything that you did before. And just like I did, and find that ball. And I came back inside and said, Mom, I can't find my ball. Can you come out? Rescue me. So she says, I can't find it. Can you help me? And then she said, let's say a prayer and ask God to help you. That was my first experience with prayer. Well, she had prayed with us before, you know, we'd say the Lord's Prayer, and she'd talk a little bit about prayer and about just talking to God, you know, the kind of things that she would tell a child, and she would help me, and we'd say those prayers in the evening, but this was, you know, the real world event, you know, in my life anyway. And so she told me, you know, let's pray about that, and then she said, no, you go back out by yourself. And go back and retrace your steps after you've said your prayer. And I found it. Now, I wish I could tell you how many times that repeated, and I can't, because it's just this blur of happening over and over and over again in my life with my mother. And so that was one of the experiences that I had had. But she taught me, and I want to get back to what she had said, and I want to read the scriptures. In 1 Corinthians, quickly, it says, in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 2, not chapter 12, it says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You know, I have since then, in my life, I have this sense, and I know it's from this experience, these experiences, to keep looking. I don't know if you have that. You know, if you don't find your answer, you don't find what you're looking for, you've got to go back out and retrace your steps. You've got to do it again. That's the rule. Mom says, you've got to do it again. And I found it true for me. I have found more answers in my life by going back, retracing all my steps, going back to God's Word, rereading, re-meditating, re-praying, and some things take a long time, and sometimes the Lord gives me and He tells me exactly what I need to know. And maybe it's not everything that's there. It's maybe not what you need to know, but it's what I need to know when I feel bad. And I am lifted up. And if you have not ever had this experience, it is an experience with God Himself. When He lifts you up by His power, by His word, and yet the world is still the same. But we compare spiritual things to spiritual things. And though we can give our lives in a war, we can give our lives in a hospital today, you know, we don't know what's going to be happening. And some of our first responders, we don't know what's going to happen. But they could end up giving their lives, get sick. These are all unknowns. But let's just finish here. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now, in real life, we know that's not true. Everybody's going to judge you. But in the spiritual world, if the Lord is with you, it doesn't matter. It simply doesn't matter, because there's only one judge. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So I have this other scripture I'd like to read in 3 Nephi. And it says in 3 Nephi chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, and Jesus told his disciples and his followers here upon this land. He says, I perceive that you're weak, that you cannot understand all my words, which I am commanded of the Father to speak unto you at this time. Therefore, go ye unto your homes and ponder upon the things which I have said. And ask of the Father in my name that you may understand, and prepare your minds for the morrow, and I come unto you again. God knows that we are human. God knows also, if He just gave it to you, if He just gave everything to you that you asked, if there was no work, if there was no effort, if there was no fear or no anxiety, it wouldn't matter. It'd be nothing. But all these are important, so He makes you wait. He makes you fret. He makes you worry. And then He relieves those things by His power and by His might when He makes you wait. This is the way of life. I don't believe that there's any way to escape it. And anyone who's lived long enough knows this is true. There's always something. There's always some new ailment. There's always some new political problem. There's always something new coming along. Pray then, look again in Luke 11:9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I made a little bit of a contact today with someone down in Mexico, and they explained a little bit. I don't know how much they want me to say, so I'll just tell you the conditions of what was there. And what happened was, in their homes there, there were three homes that were affected, three or four homes, not, you know, right in the near vicinity, and they had 20 to 25 centimeters of water in them. They told me that in that town that there were places and there were homes that had a full meter of water, all from just rain. It's flat country, but it rained for 4 days. And they were telling me, you know, about how difficult it was, but how, you know, they did get by. They had to abandon their homes, go somewhere else for a while, and now they're trying to get things cleaned up again. And everyone's not young. Everyone's not healthy. And it's difficult. But we learn so much from things like this. We learn how to get by. We learn how to swallow our pride. We learn how to be patient. We learn how to let go of material things because they lost a lot of stuff. You know, that would happen if it happened to your house. If you got in 18 inches of water in your home, there's going to be a lot of stuff that's just going to go right in the garbage. Another thing that we have to do is we must look in the right place. You know, if you're looking for God, you can't look just everywhere. Even though God can be everywhere, he can go everywhere, but he doesn't send his Spirit to be in certain circumstances, even though he's there, he's on the outside. Where it's going to be is in the hearts of those who are calling out to him. But you've got to look in the right place. You've got to look where you should be looking. You've got to go back and retrace your steps. Where should I be looking for God? Where should I be looking for the answers? And of course, they are simple answers that we have had for a long time, of course, in prayer and fasting and so forth, and looking to people who we can count on and trust, people who have God's Spirit in them. 1 Nephi 3:30, and the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto him by the power of the Holy Ghost, as well in this time as in times of old, and as well in times of old as in times to come. Wherefore, the course of the Lord is one eternal round. He never changes. God will answer the prayers of anyone who comes to him in an honest heart. And sometimes the answer, that's another thing I learned when I went out there. There was one day when I went out there and told my mom I'd lost something. And there was a day I went out there and I never found it. I lost it. That's another tough lesson, isn't it? Sometimes you just lose stuff. You lose things that you would like to have. Therefore, remember, O man, for all thy doings thou shalt be brought into judgment. Wherefore, if ye have sought to do wickedly in the days of your probation, then ye are found unclean before the judgment seat of God. And no unclean thing can dwell with God, wherefore ye must be cast off forever. And the Holy Ghost giveth authority that I should speak these things and deny them not. You know, there is always a time. We have to realize life is a serious thing. Every day does count. Everything that we say is important. You come to church and maybe you don't like the song, or you don't like exactly the way it sounds, or you're listening to this sermon online and my voice is just not coming through. It's going up and down and up and down or whatever. You don't like what's going on. But are you able to work through that? Are you able to consider the seriousness of what I might be saying or what God's Word is telling us? Because it's all serious. One of the things that I was told when I first began again to start, you know, after I felt I had departed greatly from the Lord and I decided to come back to church and participate again, I began to listen. I began to listen to everything that people say. And I remember some of the old folks back there in Independence saying, you know, when you sing a song, listen to every single word. Read it. Figure out what it's saying. And does it apply to you? Is there a message there? Is it something that's important? When you listen to someone's prayer, listen to what they're saying. Try to understand, you know, and I would listen. And some of the prayers I just loved, and other prayers I said, well, that guy's just preaching to me. You know, all this stuff comes up. All these things you have to battle with. And we have to become adults and live strong. But we do have to look in the right place, and where the battle is the right battle, where it's a spiritual battle, a one that we can win. And listen to what's going on is such an important thing. And there are times, just like it says in verse 36, when we just have to tell the truth. We just have to say what's right and what's wrong in this world. Something very serious will happen to you sooner or later, something extremely serious. I want to go and read again, staying in 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 37 to 39 says, "For it came to pass that after I had desired to know the things that my father had seen, and believing that the Lord was able to make them known unto me, wherefore as I sat pondering in mine heart, I was caught away in the Spirit of the Lord, yea, into an exceeding high mountain, which I never had before seen, upon which I never had before set my foot. And the Spirit saith unto me, Behold, what desirest thou?" If we will give ourselves to this, you know, and everything in our lives, it's amazing, you know, when for example, if a lot of us, maybe if we got drawn to go hunting, well, one of the first things you can do, you're going to check out your gear, you're going to check out your gun, you're going to make sure your scope is tight against your rifle, you're going to go out and you're going to shoot a few shots to make sure it's still aligned and everything's accurate. You're going to make sure that everything is clean, you're going to make sure your shoes are ready, you're going to put all this time and all this energy, and God requires the same kind of thing for you to put time and energy into your life and into finding Him so that we can find the peace and the happiness that we need. It's just simply the truth in anything that we do, whatever it may be. We spend a great deal of time. How much time? Well, I won't mention that. I was going to say something about the games and the videos and stuff, but how much time do we spend on those kind of things? And we get good at them. And you might even get a good job someday from it. But God expects the same thing of us when we're seeking Him, to seek Him and to put effort into what we're doing, an honest effort to seek Him with all of our heart in these things. So we've got this time we've been having where we stay at home, and some of you haven't been able to go to work. Some of you have been protecting yourself. And so what are you doing with this time of reflection? And I like Ken's comment today when he said, you know, we've got to show a light. How are you showing that light? It's a commandment. How are you showing that light? It's a really good question. How are we going to do that? Are you reading God's word? Are you praying in the name of Christ? Are you asking God every day to tell you what He wants from you? And you know, the most wonderful thing, one of the most wonderful things that you can ever hear is He would answer you and tell you. Are you asking for understanding of this day, the day that we live in, the modern day that we live in, and about the spiritual condition of our nation? Are you asking God about these kind of things? Or the condition of the church? Or the condition of your own family? Are you asking these questions and asking God to let you know what you should do in your personal lives? Jesus has the power and the answer. 1 Nephi 3:80, same chapter again, 1 Nephi chapter 3, verses 80 to 87. "And it came to pass that the angel spake unto me again, saying, Look, and I looked, and I beheld the heavens open again. And I saw angels descending upon the children of men, and they did minister unto them. And he spake unto me again, saying, Look, and I looked, And I beheld the Lamb of God going forth among the children of men. And I beheld multitudes of people which were sick and which were afflicted of all manner of diseases and with devils and unclean spirits. And the angel spake and showed all these things unto me. And they were healed by the power of the Lamb of God. And the devils and the unclean spirits were cast out. And it came to pass that the angel spake unto me again, saying, Look, and I looked and beheld the Lamb of God, that he was taken by the people, yea, the Son of the everlasting God, was judged of the world. And I saw and bare record. And I, Nephi, saw that he was lifted up upon the cross and slain for the sins of the world. So many of the things that we would like things to be a certain way, but it always looks different. Like he being taken. He wasn't victorious. He didn't come the way that his people expected him as king and come and reign. It was different. It was a different kind of reign. It was a reign over what's in our minds and our hearts. He reigned. He defeated the world and he defeated death and he resisted sin. But Jesus has the answers to those things. If we can resist those things, then we become victorious in him. And everything becomes possible then. The wisdom of the world has gotten us to this point. And I just have to, you know, when I'm looking at the news, I'm not sure anyone knows what they're doing. I'm really doubtful. Because this is things that because there's so many other voices, there's lying voices, there's no question about that in my mind. There's lying voices, shouting, yelling, violence, all these things that are going on. But the world, the wisdom of the world has gotten us to this point. And it will not save us. So let's read 1 Nephi again, chapter 3, verse 90 to 94. And I beheld that they were in a large and spacious building, like unto the building which my father saw. And the angel of the Lord spake unto me again, saying, Behold, the world and the wisdom thereof, yea, behold, the house of Israel hath gathered together to fight against the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And it came to pass that I saw and bear record that the great and spacious building was the pride of the world, and it fell, and the fall thereof was exceeding great. And this always happens. It always happens. And it will happen to each one of us if we, in our own pride, don't realize what can happen to us if we don't have the humility that we need in this life. God calls people to the work. I believe that the Lord began speaking to me many years ago and whispering to me and creating within me a desire to do something different, to make something better out of my life. I believe that. I believe it was him because it taught me to do good things and it taught me to study and it taught me to communicate with my brothers and sisters, to make friends with God's children. It taught me these things and it urged me to do these things. But all around the world was all against it. Why did I continue doing it? Because there is a God and God calls out to his people. He has power and he can move in our lives and he can move in every one of our lives. 1 Nephi chapter 3 again, verse 113. And I also saw and bear record that the Holy Ghost fell upon 12 others and they were ordained of God and chosen. And it just kept going on. God's work just keeps going on. He keeps calling people and many of you would be able to stand and to testify how you feel like the Lord just pulled you, called you out of the world to come and to serve him in a better way, to give of your time and your talents more fully. But we still have to keep doing that. And whatever's going on in the world, whatever happens, we still have to do that. Like our brother Ken said, you know, you are called to be this light in the world. You're a light. And glorify your Father in heaven by the good things that you do. And I'm always looking for people that I think are really studying and really praying and giving themselves to God. And I'm interested in what they have to say. I'm interested in hearing their opinions. And as I listen, I go, yeah, I hear things that, well, that sounds a little human. But I hear something else. And, you know, that sounds like the truth to me. And the Lord in Book of Psalms or is it Proverbs has wisely said, you know, in a multitude of counselors is where we find our salvation, where we find our wisdom, in a multitude of voices that telling us what to do. And I'm always looking for people that are listening, and I give heed. I listen to them because often they have such wonderful ideas. If I just listen to someone who is giving themselves to the Lord. The violence erupts and souls are lost. That is an eternal theme. Seems to me from the beginning of, since Adam left the garden, it seems to me like this is something that's happened just over and over again. It always ends in violence every time. And we're seeing people trying to do that today. And we must be very careful. 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 123 to 126. And it came to pass that I looked and beheld the people of my seed gathered together in multitudes against the seed of my brethren. And they were gathered together to battle. And the angel spake unto me, saying, Behold the fountain of filthy water which thy father saw, yea, even the river of which he spake. And the depths thereof are the depths of hell. In the midst of darkness are the temptations of the devil, which blindeth the eyes and hardeneth the hearts of the children of men and leadeth them away into broad roads, that they may perish and are lost in the large and spacious building which thy father saw is the vain imaginations and the pride of the children of men. And so what the devil tries to do is things are going on, and just as you're hoping that things are going to get back to normal, and he'll try to do something to harden your eyes, to harden your heart and to blind your eyes, to make it so you're just going to turn it all off. But you can't look to him and you can't look to the world for this wisdom. I can't go ask someone who doesn't believe in God how I can believe in God. It's not possible. I have to ask someone who believes in God. I have to come and look at God's word. I have to look in the right place. I have to retrace my steps in the right path, or I'm not going to find what I want from the Lord. And we have this prophecy. I've got three more slides, and then I'm done. I've taken almost all my scriptures from this 1 Nephi chapter 3 because it tells us so many things. It says, Wherefore... 1 Nephi 3, 171 to 175. Wherefore, thou seest that after the book hath gone forth through the hands of the great and abominable church, that there are many plain and most precious things taken away from the book, which is the book of the Lamb of God. And after that, these plain and precious things were taken away, it goeth forth unto all the nations of the Gentiles. And after it go forth unto all the nations of the Gentiles, yea, even across the many waters which thou hast seen, when the Gentiles which have gone forth out of captivity, and thou seest because of the many plain and precious things which have been taken out of the book, which were plain unto the understanding of the children of men, according to the plainness which is in the Lamb of God. And because of these things which are taken away out of the gospel of the Lamb, an exceeding great many do stumble, yea, insomuch that Satan hath great power over them. You know, this Bible, because it's talking about the Bible, had gone forth, but there were things in it that weren't completely clear. And so there was a great deal of even to this very day, in so many different churches in this world. And yet God has blessed us. And we look here in this verse 176. This story, this title, the slide, the story is not finished. It's not over. We're still going on. We're in the middle of this story, or we're at the latter end of this story. When God is still working with America, still working with this, the promised land. And I believe it is still a promised land. It is a place that many people in the world would like to be. And I hope it's a place that we will appreciate, that we will begin to appreciate even more the freedoms that we have gained, the freedom that God has given us. And it's been such a short period of time of freedom. So short. It's been so short in this world. And I pray that it will go on for a long time to come. 1 Nephi 3, 176. Nevertheless, thou beholdest that the Gentiles which have gone forth out of captivity and have been lifted up by the power of God above all of the nations upon the face of the land, which is choice above all other lands. This is a choice land. And I don't want to debate or argue about the might of a nation, but really this greatness that we're talking about, it really isn't that old either. It's about half of the time of our existence. We weren't that great the first 100 years. We were pretty dinky and pretty small and had a pretty hard time of it. And it was really even till the 20th century that America became what it is today. One reason, because of World War I and World War II, we became this world power. Prior to that, we really weren't. We were a mighty nation. We were something that you would have to reckon with. But now with this time when we can't let our pride get the best of us. It's a short greatness. And I pray that our greatness will become a spiritual greatness. That we will begin comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. That we will desire and hunger after the spiritual strength. When we can have wisdom and answers to people's questions and their needs and answers to the problems and be able to give a greater light in this world. And that after this is over, and I don't know how long it's going to be, and neither do you. We don't know how long it's going to be. We don't know what politics is going to be. We got no idea. But after it's over, that will be something different. Something we've gained something. Not that we will have gained more memory, because I don't know if that's going to happen during this time. It may, it may not. But America was this, is this Gentile nation that went forth out of captivity, for a freedom to worship God. That's the main thing we want. The main thing that we should continue to pray for. Lord, permit us to worship you in a way which will give you honor and glory. Protect us. Watch over us. And so many nations in the world have benefited from our freedom. I pray they can still do so. I pray they can still do so by your determination to serve God, by your determination to judge righteously in this world, to deal properly with the orphan and widows and with people who have need and with those who need jobs and all these things. We will deal righteously with them, no matter what other people may be doing. These promises that are in the scriptures are to those who will remain repentant in their life. And so this is the last slide. And I just wrote this sentence, don't sell your birthright just yet. There's a lot of people. There are people that are going to try and get you to go away. This could be our Valley Forge, and if you don't know what took place there when Washington and the troops went into Valley Forge, I can't remember the exact number, 1,500, something like that, maybe 2,000. When they came out, there were hundreds and hundreds left, less. Some of the people just deserted. They just left. Many died of illness. Some joined up with some of the wolves and ransacked the area around them and took what they needed, and others stayed there and suffered in this unity of purpose. And one book I read, I believe it's The Light and Glory, the author of that book made the statement. He said, after Valley Forge, those men carried the whole of the army. They stopped running in battle. They were always ready. They lost their fear. Well, no, I'm sure they said fear. They gained their courage. So I hope that I heard one of our brothers, a good elder in the church, he believes that, that Gideon, the story of Gideon is really kind of a type of the last days. Maybe it is. Gideon was from Manasseh. And that story is an interesting story where the Lord whittled down the army to 300 men who didn't even carry swords. They carried pots and trumpets. And God put fear into the hearts of the enemies of Israel. Vanquished them. Sent them running. Put fear in their hearts. And that's exactly what's going to happen. And that's what exactly we must. You can do your own research on this in the scriptures, and I hope you will. This is what's going to happen. Those people that are against the work of God, you know, they're going to be just fine as long as they think they have everything in their way. Everything's going their way until it doesn't, and then they'll turn against one another. They'll run. There's no question about it. But you cannot run. You cannot run. We cannot run. And we must hang on to this, get everyone we possibly can through this in every way we possibly can. I know it's not always equal and it's not always fair and it's not exactly the same, but this is our task, to be a light to this world and to help carry the burdens of other people. That is our job. So, go back and retrace your steps again. Check it out again. Go back, see if you missed anything, if you come up to some wall, something in your life, you know, you've got to go back, retrace your steps, find out where you lost your way, and get back on the path. Get some help from someone who cares and has God's Spirit. Pray about it, then go back and retrace your steps again. You got to do it the third time and the fourth time, and do the hard thinking on the difficult subjects. This is what's so hard. It's so hard times. You know, it's that saying that I hate. I absolutely hate. You know, well, it's complicated. Well, yeah, it's not complicated. It's just hard. It's mentally and emotionally hard to go through all these things. We've got to do it, and we must come out on the other side of this so that you can be ready to carry the sword of truth. Look in the right places, then go back, retrace your steps, say your prayers, and come back, pray, go back, retrace your steps in the right place. You know, as I look at the stories that are in the scriptures, this is a story that I think repeats itself. Sometimes people ask for more signs. They ask for more evidence. Sometimes people, like in case of Nephi, when he went back to Jerusalem with his brothers, they didn't have success the first time or the second time. But what was right needed to take place. And it was necessary for that one man, Nephi, say, no, we must go back. We must do what God told us to do, even though the others were ready to flee. Someone must stand their ground, and I hope that you will stand your ground if I start to flee someday and call me back. Because this is what we always need to do. When you lose your ball or you lose your way, you just go back, retrace your steps, find out where you lost your way, find out what's going on, and get back on the horse and ride. Get back and do the work. Get back. And that's one of the wonderful, marvelous covenants that I think is so very plain. It's plain in the Bible, but it's really plain in the Book of Mormon. As oft as they repent. How many times do we read that? If you will repent, God will bless you again. Repent. That's the promise. It's stated over and over again. These terrible problems that are forecast and prophesied, but the Lord says, if they will repent. What a covenant. But you may have to climb on that bomber and fly over where they're shooting at you. It may not be easy. You may get shot down. I may. But you have to keep going. You cannot stop. You must keep going. And in the end, God will reward you, and He will give strength through you to other people. This is what we must do. God bless you. I really didn't mean to be emotional about this at all. I thought it was going to be completely unemotional. But it is with me. It is, because I truly think we are living in this story. We are in the middle of this story. You are a part of it. And it is your story. And you're going to help write it. And it will be written someday what you did. If you left, if you fled, if you went the other way, or if you stayed back and withstood the problems that are there. This is the God that I know. By no greater voice than my mother, go back and do it again. You know, that's exactly what she told me. Go back, retrace your steps. It's there. You've got to go look again. It's there. What you need is always there. God bless you.
Go ahead and close our service with 119. 119, if you would please stand.